Good morning and welcome to the Mary Griffith Show. The third Thursday means Kathy Carpenter, our master gardener from the University of Illinois Extension, is here. And we're going to talk about all things to do with gardening this time of year. And Kathy, every third Thursday this year, the weather has been out of sync with whatever the season was supposed to be. Who would have thought, you know, we're supposed to be talking about, the frost line 6 feet deep and there's 12 feet of snow on the ground and everybody should be looking through their bulb catalogs and their catalogs looking for the spring. It's going to be 60 degrees this weekend, girlfriend. So still too early to plant, but by golly, I guess you could almost do prep work outdoors in your garden, couldn't you?
If we didn't have all this dang rain now, that's the problem.
The mud.
It's all too wet to really work anything in the soil. And I have bulbs I still haven't put in the ground, but it's not going to work this time either.
It's not going to work this time
and
either.
And then I fly off to Hawaii for 2 weeks.
For 2 weeks. Mm. 2 weeks, so 2 weeks.
So please.
Well, you know, it is intriguing, though, because this time of year is the time of year when people dream about spring. Wake up on Saturday and spring will be here practically. But obviously, these temperature variations are common in this Midwest zone. And so even though it's 60 degrees this weekend, you dare not really do much of anything because it will get down and we will have a good hard freeze. Again, before it's all over.
At least once.
So let's talk, first of all, this rain is welcome because we have been moisture deficient. We have been a little bit in a drought situation, and we haven't had a lot of snowpack this year to melt gently. So gentle rains like today are very welcome, aren't they?
Absolutely. And the trees also will appreciate, even if you're not, farmers really appreciate it, but the people that own their nice trees and everything, they're getting moisture in that soil, and those roots are still working to keep the tree alive, and they need that. So it's good.
And, you know, we talk about, you know, trees do go dormant, many trees, deciduous trees go dormant. Now, I have noticed this year that many trees and many bushes still have retained their leaves. Why is that? Like, you look across the street. I always say across the street out the WT80 window is a nice selection of trees, evergreens, flowers. Many of those bushes, and they're kind of ugly because of it, have not lost their leaves. Why won't the leaves fall?
Well, I think in some cases, now, if it happens to be an oak, and those are not oaks, those are ash trees, but oak trees do keep their leaves most of the winter. They may be brown, but they don't drop them really until spring. But most of them should have dropped. The thing, I think it's related to how quickly you end up having your first freeze of the fall. Because if those leaves were not ready to drop immediately and they get the freeze, then it kind of messes up. The reason a leaf drops is an abscission layer. A layer of thick cells forms at the base of the leaf, which cuts off water to that leaf and allows the leaf to basically wither and drop. But if they get that freeze before that abscission layer really forms, then the leaves have a tendency to hang on a bit longer than you would think until a nice big wind comes and maybe takes them that way.
So they don't get enough juice to really stay alive, but they don't have it cut off enough to fall. So it's kind of like dangling.
Exactly.
It's a hanging chad of the
leaf variety.
There's just not enough to knock it off, but whatever. So that's kind of one of the things that I've noticed this year, and maybe it's been other years and I just haven't noticed. But the trees have lost their leaves, yes, but the dead leaves are still atop the tree.
There, yeah.
And they, you know, we've had some wind. They don't seem to want to go anywhere, so I guess they're not going anywhere.
Well, probably not for a while.
You know, we talk about global warming and climate change, and of course that takes place over really centuries and eons. But they just announced the National Weather Service that this is again 2016 was for the third year in a row the hottest year ever recorded on the planet.
Remember too, they take the data from all over the planet.
You
know, it might not seem like that to us,
right?
But yes.
I mean, and it goes up by, you know, 0.01 or something like that. But
hottest is relative.
Right.
Yeah.
But how much would have to change before we would really start to see a change in things we could grow, for example, in this area?
Well, we're seeing a little bit of that. Because when I first moved to Quincy, the government that gives the growing zones for people that are gardeners had called Quincy more like a Area 5B in our section. We're in kind of a weird section because of the proximity to the river and everything, too. But now they're saying we are 6A, A being the cooler side of 6, 6B being warmer than 6A. And so, yes, it's inched up a little bit. There are
We went from 5B.
5B to 6A. Right.
Interesting. So right. It has changed enough, or maybe we're just miscategorized before, because after all, when you look at data, you have to remember accurate data only goes back so far.
Well, that's
very
true.
I mean, to say, it's the hottest year on record in 2016, well, yes, that's true, but I imagine...
While data has been collected,
yeah,
which is not necessarily.
50 million years ago when some volcano erupted, it was probably hotter that year, but we just don't...
Well,
Grog and Nog didn't have
Actually, the world temperatures have always changed. We've always had climate change. Some of the real discussion has been more is how much of it is being influenced by people as opposed to just the natural tendencies of the planet. But we've been through ice. I mean, there were glaciers down here, for God's sake.
Oh, yeah.
And then there were times when things were extraordinarily warm. We had jungles around here, too, at one point. So you just have to understand that we are always in a state of climate change. It's just we cannot really control it.
No,
I mean, let's put it that way.
Well,
we'd
have to stop exhaling and living, and I'm not willing to do that.
No,
as much
no,
as I love
not,
Mother
not
Nature.
At all. Right.
But one thing we can do is we can reduce our carbon footprint by planting lots of beautiful flowers and trees and vegetables and letting them unleash their carbon dioxide into the air, which...
Warm
up the planet, right. Now, we release the carbon dioxide. They release the oxygen. So we don't have to stop breathing if we plant a tulip. So let's talk about this time of year. Usually when we're sitting with our mug of tea and it's very cold and we've curled up with our catalogs and we're dreaming rather than me going, what a great weekend, but I know my husband will make me clean out the garage. So what kind of things should we be doing now? And a lot of people order from mail order catalogs, and that's okay, but you can get a lot of the stuff locally,
especially
at this time of year if you go in and request something. Most of these places, like Farm and Home Supply or,
some of them haven't gotten their shipments in.
So they could get something you want.
And actually some of your nurseries, they have perennials started already. I mean, they've gotten their shipments and they're growing them on in their greenhouses, just waiting till the time has come to tempt the buying public. And, there's the mail order places and the nurseries are really two sides. They have their benefits. Each one has a benefit. Each one has things that aren't so good about them. And for example, nurseries, brick and mortar nurseries and the big box store, they're in the business of making money. They're going to order the most popular or what they are betting will be the most popular kind of plants for the next selling season. It doesn't help them any if they have all kinds of exotic stuff that nobody knows about or doesn't even really want to buy.
Right.
So they have to buy the things that are popular. And that's great. That's great for all of us because we generally, at the local nurseries, you generally get bigger plants. And while you should cast a jaundiced eye on them when you're deciding whether this is one I really want to take home in terms of, does it have a nice healthy root system? It isn't infested with anything. You want to get those right. But the buyer beware. You can inspect and you can choose to buy
really
or
look them
not
over.
To buy. Look over your plants before you invest your good money in this. But you generally get a bigger plant. And in fact, in some cases, I get upset with them because, especially with woody plants, they might be bigger than I want to plant. And yes, they'll be happy to plant them for me, but I feel a smaller woody, you know, will eventually grow. And it's easy. They adapt better sometimes when you plant them smaller rather than bigger. But just try to tell that to some of the nurseries when you're saying, don't you have some small evergreens instead of ones that
right.
are 4 or 5 feet tall?
Yeah.
Oh, you know, that sort of thing.
You know, I want to adopt a baby, not a teenager.
Exactly.
I want to care for it myself.
Yeah. And the other thing, the thing about the advantage that the mail order places have is because they're selling countrywide in some cases, you can get more exotic things, something you've always really wanted, but you've never been able to find before. And but on the bad side of that is they have to ship them. The bigger the plant, the more expensive it is to ship, and the less likely somebody is going to pay those shipping charges. So they have to send you really small plants. One a friend of mine used to call, you know, the woodies sticks with roots. But to me, you know, if it's the kind of plant I've always wanted, I'd rather have it small and give it a chance to adapt to my conditions. And of course, it helps if you're buying from a mail order place that generally is in your growing area. You also pay less in shipping if it's more local than not.
But you can find most everything locally. But there are some things that you may want to invest in. And that's just mm-hmm. like, you know, I'm going to buy one great dress for one knockout party. Mm-hmm. And then the rest of the time, I'm just going to wear a skirt and blouse. But that's okay.
Yeah.
I'm spending my clothing budget this way.
Right.
I'm spending my garden budget this way.
Exactly.
Is now a good time to start anything indoors? Or
is it
too early?
If you have grow lights.
If you don't have a grow light,
don't even bother starting from seed. Some of the cool weather plants, the ones that can go into the garden early, you could start now. If you want to be the first on the block with tomatoes, sure, you could start your tomato plants from seed too. The downside of starting them inside, of course, it takes space. You have to pay more attention to them. You should have your lights on a timer so they get more light than you would normally expect a plant growing outside. And you also don't want to have plants getting what they call leggy, which, you know, if you don't, you have to have a grow light that's adjustable so that when they're tiny seedlings, the light's real close to them, and as they grow, you gradually raise the lights a little higher. That way they can stay stout and strong before. And then when it's time to get them outside, you have to remember these were plants growing under inside home conditions. They have to transition to the outside.
They're not used to it getting really cold at night.
And the sunlight is different. Pure
right.
sunlight will burn a plant that's been grown under grow lights unless you gradually let them out. Bring them back in.
Really?
Yeah, it takes, if you really, I mean, you can take your chances, you know, and you may have a large mortality rate, but you might have some that make it despite all your efforts to kill them. So, yeah, you have to understand that there's pluses and minuses to whatever you do. Now, in the greenhouses, because they're in protected areas and they're used to growing plants in controlled conditions, and then they gradually themselves transition right. them outside.
And they also can roll back the roof, I guess you could say, and let real sunlight come in when it's appropriate.
Exactly.
So they're not completely reliant on anything artificial.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, and you know, you can also have the best of both worlds. There are some brick-and-mortar places within driving distance of around here that also do mail order. So you get the catalog, you look over. Then you go out to the place and you say, I want that.
I want that. And I want to take it home now without you shipping it so I can be very careful with it and treat it like a baby.
Yeah,
nobody has their baby shipped home from Blessing Hospital, so, you know, why you want to take it yourself?
The stork has long since given up on this delivery business.
On this delivery business.
Yes, exactly.
Kathy Carpenter, my guest today, she is a master gardener. She stops by the third Thursday of every month to help us with our gardening tips. And this is the time of year when you should definitely be deciding how many rows of lettuce, how many rows of spinach, where are my tomatoes going to go? Am I going to have my wave petunias this year, or am I going to go with something different? If you've got a question for Kathy, now's the time to call. 223-9300. That's 223-9300. Or toll free 1-800-228-WTAD. 1-800-228-9823. Kathy Carpenter alongside. She is not celebrating her 71st birthday.
My 70th. 71st in May.
Well, okay. We'll be back with you then. You'll be working 9 to 5, or at least 9:15 to 10 at Talk
exactly.
Radio 930 exactly. WTAD. We asked for callers. We got callers. Cool. And this is a great part of our show because you get a chance to talk to the expert, Master Gardener Kathy Carpenter. Good morning, caller. What is on your mind?
My question is poinsettias. We just finished the Christmas season, and I have some friends that gave me some big, beautiful poinsettias that, like, they sell at Walmart, those great big ones.
Mm-hmm.
What can I do to keep them healthy and keep them alive from here on out?
Okay. Well, we generally, this is a perennial question about this time of year, for sure. And actually, if you're making sure that they stay watered but are not sitting in water, give them a little fertilizer, and they will still stay pretty for another couple of months. Keep an eye on them when the bracts, the colored, actually they're colored leaves, they aren't actually the flowers, when they begin to fade, then is the time to cut the plant back a bit. But you can continue to keep them in a nice sunny window away from drafts, because they're a tropical plant, they don't like it cold, until you get to the summer season. And by that time, they will just look like a green bush, and you will have cut them back some. And I would allow them to spend the summer outside. Generally, I would not plant them in the garden, although you could sink the pot into the soil if you'd like. Towards the end of the summer, then, you have to start inducing them, shall we say, to put forth more of those colored bracts. And what you have to do is you have to provide them with total darkness.
That is
and
the hard
part. And we're talking absolute total. Put them in a closet from about, you know, like 7 in the evening through to 7 in the morning. They need to have a good, long, totally dark period. Then, of course, you have to take them out because, you know, the leaves still need to make, you know, food for the plant. But you have to do that every single night until about, shall we say, November, probably the end of, or close to the end of November. Then they can come out, put them back in your little window again at home, and of course you've continued to water them and feed them, and they should be starting then to color up again.
Okay.
Most people feel that as beautiful as it is and as attached to it as you are, sometimes the compost heap works pretty well, and you get a fresh one every year.
So,
kind of fertilizer?
General purpose, liquid fertilizer would work fine.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I applaud you if you're thinking about doing
absolutely.
It, because we have a beautiful poinsettia here, and Steve is still taking care of it, and at some point in time, there's no way that Steve is going to put that in a dark room for 12 mm-hmm. hours a day. And, you know, so at some point in time, once the beauty of this year's poinsettia starts to fade, it may be time to just say, goodbye, poinsettia. I'll buy another one next year. But I applaud you if you can keep it alive. And even if it, I mean, if you just like the look of the plant without the color, it's a nice green,
nice green plant.
But getting that color back is not that easy.
No.
That's why it takes a lot of work. That's why these nurseries specialize in these things and sell these things. But are you going to do it? Are you going to take the plunge?
Oh, well, I have one that I kept from last year, but I didn't put it in the darkness. Like, I thought you had to put it in the darkness all the time. And well, I was afraid I'd forget to water it.
Yeah, no, you can't. It still needs light. It just can't have light during the nighttime period, 12 hours.
So you have to, like, what about, like, the basement? Would that be too cool?
Well, if you have it totally, if you don't have a walkout basement, yeah, it can take, I mean, it's a tropical plant, but it can take temperatures into the 60s. I wouldn't want to get it much cooler than that.
And it's got to be absolutely dark, not just a little dark. For that 12 hours every night, it has to be pitch black.
Black.
Yeah, no lights in the ceiling or anything.
Like a light around it, like even if you put it in a closet, if the closet doesn't have a good seal on the door and you've got that in an area where you have the house lights on, that's not going to work.
Probably not going to work real well.
My closets are too full. It wouldn't fit in a closet.
I was going to say, if you've got room for a poinsettia to sit in a closet for 12 hours a day, I need to talk to you about cleaning out my closet. Well, we wish you the best of luck, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I tell you, people love these poinsettias, and they're so beautiful.
They're pretty. Yeah. And the pruning is important, too, because you want it to stay nice and bushy. Believe me, I see them growing wild when I'm in Hawaii or Mexico, and they're a bush,
right,
and
they're
very
big.
Leggy and big, and they're not attractive.
They're not
like
pretty
our
nursery people make them
work
pretty.
Work very hard to make
We've
them pretty.
We've got another caller, okay. And I thank you for your call. What's on your mind, caller?
Hi, I have a nice jade plant that one of my cats knocked over a couple of days ago and pretty much decimated it. I'd like to try to start a new one, but I'm just not sure how to do that.
Okay. Do you still have some viable leaves on that jade plant?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, I think your best bet, I mean, jade plants are usually pretty easy to have sprout from the leaf, but I would go to your, you know, local store, nursery or big box store that has gardening supplies. And ask them for some rooting powder or rooting hormone.
Okay, I have some of that.
You do? Uh-huh. Okay, wonderful. So what I would do then is I would take the leaf off, probably make a cut, you know, where the stem end of the leaf is, and just maybe cut that stem off. Dip it into the rooting powder, and then have a pot ready with moistened potting soil, and just put it in there.
Oh.
And then just make sure that the soil stays damp.
Okay.
And just keep an eye on it. It should, as long as it isn't withering and it's staying nice and plump, it's probably producing roots down there.
Oh, okay.
And just keep after it and see what happens. I wouldn't keep pulling it out and checking. You know, they probably would not take too well to that.
Okay.
But at the end of, you know, when summer comes and it begins to warm up a bit, you might just, you know, take a fork or something and kind of gently lift it and see if you've got some good roots started and then put it right back.
Okay. All right. Well, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your phone call. Now, what I would have said,
yes,
since I don't like cats, I would have said get rid of the cat. But that's me. we've got to take a break. Your phone calls are welcome at 223-9300, 1-800-228-WTAD. Call now, and you can talk to our master gardener, Kathy Carpenter, live and free of charge. Kathy Carpenter, my guest today, we've learned about the care and feeding of poinsettias. Unless you're willing to put them to bed in a dark place every night and take them out for you have to do that for about 2 months or 3 months.
And beginning in the fall, or early fall.
You got to start like at the end of August,
beginning September.
Know,
yeah,
and sometimes you know it's just nice to support your local nursery and get a new pretty one every year.
Mm-hmm.
We also talked a little bit about the jade plant and how easily it is to root a new jade plant from the leaves. And, Kathy, what else do we need to talk about? Master Gardener classes are starting for West Central Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
There will be classes, so they have enough people signed up to meet the minimum. They're going to be starting here pretty quickly. So if you want to learn for your own self-improvement and for the help of your community to become a Master Gardener, call today the Extension Office to register. Here's their number, 217 322-3381. That's 322-3381 for University of Illinois Master Gardeners. We need to talk about seeds.
Yes, yes, because there are also catalogs that companies that produce simply seeds for the general public. And while, yes, I know anyone who walks into either one of our big box stores or nurseries or even grocery stores will have seeds out for purchase, sometimes, you know, you have your heart set on something that you just can't seem to find locally. And there are some wonderful seed companies that you can order from. And what this does is it gives you a whole lot more choice in particular seed categories, particularly in the vegetable seed categories, but also in some of the flower categories as well. I wouldn't recommend for beginners trying to start perennial seeds because they have their own unique requirements, in some case requiring to have a cold period before they will even germinate for you. But the annual seeds are very simple, and you can find flowers that, you know, you might not find in your local stores. And because seeds are by nature relatively light, it doesn't cost as much in shipping. Yeah, you have a shipping cost still, but it doesn't cost as much. And in fact, one of my catalogs said they, you know, if you order $200 worth of seeds and, you know, free shipping. But, of course, now, I usually order maybe
$200.
Believe me, if you're running a farm, this catalog does commercial
like sweet
seeds
corn.
As
yeah,
well
okay, okay.
As regular home gardener type seeds.
I'm sitting there thinking, well, there's no way my little plot's gonna set me back.
Exactly, but the packets, they always supply packets as well as the large containers
of
seed.
The 55-gallon drum of tomato seed or
exactly,
whatever, yeah.
Exactly, but I don't tend to start from seed, simply as I said before, because of the issues with the grow lights and then having to adapt the seeds to their outdoor environment. But there are a lot of annual seeds. You can plant them early spring, and they'll come up just fine, and you'll have a little waiting period. It isn't like going to the store and buying a flat of a particular annual, and then you have instant color. But quite frankly, I'm willing to wait so I can have the kind of color I want.
Okay. For those of you who need instant gratification, South End Plant.
Yeah. All the
Bergman
many,
Nurseries.
Many nurseries.
There are many, many nurseries. For those of you who are patient and kind and loving, like Kathy.
And persnickety,
So basically, grab a seed catalog. Kathy, she says she even sometimes just buys one thing from a company just so she can continue to get their catalog because the catalog is so enjoyable. But it's time to start dreaming. Real quick, we've got to go. When is first frost? So we can kind of get in our mind, or not first last frost.
Okay. The old days, they used to say Mother's Day. But I would say nowadays, mid-April, probably you're safe to put stuff in.
My birthday's April 25th.
And you can plant some of the cold hardy seeds a lot sooner than that.
Okay.
Mid-March for the peas.
Okay. We'll do that.